Irma Bombeck wrote in 1992. She says it was in Red Book magazine. An estimated 1.5 million people are living today after bouts with breast cancer. Every time I forget to feel grateful to be among them, I hear the voice of an 8-year-old named Christina, who had cancer of the nervous system. When asked what she wanted for her birthday, she thought long and hard and finally said, "I don't know. I have 2 sticker books and a Cabbage Patch doll. I have everything." What an attitude. I have known people who never say thank you, and they do it deliberately, and they have defended that it was not necessary. They'll argue that they did something before you because they wanted to, and if they didn't want to, they would not have done it, so thanks is not necessary. President Trump suggested a week ago Wednesday that there were 3 UCLA players accused of shoplifting in China, that they should thank him after their release from confinement and return home. The father of one refused to give thanks, and he argued, "They try to make a big deal out of nothing sometimes. I'm from L.A. I've seen a lot worse things happen than a guy taking some glasses. I am from L.A. He goes on to say, "I don't have to go around saying thank you to everybody." Something that I believe has largely been lost in our country is an attitude of gratitude. And there are so many expectations, and without this attitude of simple thanks. So why give thanks? Anytime, why give thanks? This is a Thanksgiving season. We celebrated recently on Thursday what happened 400 years ago back in 1621 with the natives in this country and pilgrims that came here. But why give thanks? I will suggest 4 reasons to give thanks this morning. Let's begin it with a prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray for your guidance and your direction this morning. I pray for the filling of your Spirit. I pray, Father, that you will guide and direct, that you will give understanding, open eyes and ears and hearts and minds to understand, including my own. I pray that you will guide us as we look at this very important subject of simple thanksgiving and thanksgiving to you. And Lord God, we'll praise you and we'll give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. 4 reasons to give thanks. Number 1 reason is, it is simply God's will to give thanks. We see it in this verse, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. My wife this morning asked, what was I preaching on this morning? And I said, well, 4 reasons to give thanks. And I said the first one was, it is God's will to do so. And she says, aha, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. And I was so proud of her. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do any of you have a desire to do God's will? I think so. Most people in the world, I think, could care less. But that is not we. We seek God's will for the most part. Some agonize over knowing God's will for their lives because sometimes we're trying to find out what God's will is when we can't ever even really know for sure. Sometimes they'll argue over, where do I live? Where do I go to school? Who do I marry? Or even, where do I shop today? Or which direction should I turn with the car? I've known people that actually do that. Where do you want to go to college? Well, I would argue, is there a moral reason not to go to that college? Then don't go there. But if there isn't, then go where you want to go. But give God thanks in the process, because that is surely God's will for you. In whatever you choose, to give thanks in it. It's God's will. I also have people periodically tell me that God told me, or God has revealed to me, or God wants me. And I'm never sure of those things when people share those things with me. I don't know for sure. But knowing God's will, I do know for sure here with simply the giving of thanks. Maybe those things are God's will for them. Maybe God has revealed those things to them. I don't know for sure. This I do know for sure. I know God wants this for you and for me to simply give him thanks all the time. That I know is God's will. I was reading something this morning or this week that a guy suggested that anymore, every morning, that he wakes up, the moment he wakes up, he cries out to God and gives him thanks for three events from the previous week or the previous day, simply from the previous day, thanking God for three things. So I was doing that this morning, and I was kind of wrestling with it because the only thing that were coming to mind was that Alabama got beat and Riley's not with us anymore. So I thought that is unbelievably too shallow, and there's got to be something else I can thank God for. And but there were a couple things. One was Bill Busing. I wish he was here this morning so you could hear this, but. He was seeking for a Bible, and he asked me what translation I use on Sunday mornings, and that just really touched me, just out of the blue. He gave me a call. And also something that I give thanks for was Aaron and Izzy Meyer, that they survived the week, particularly Thanksgiving Day, and I'm very, very thankful for Aaron. And there are other things that I thank God for too, but I thought it was a nice exercise, and I would suggest it. I would challenge you for that. That first thing in the morning, wake up and say, "Okay, what are the three things that I can thank God for the previous day?" And usually, it's going to involve people and not just events. But whatever. There is a second reason to give thanks. I'm arguing that giving thanks must be learned, and I want you, if you can, turn with me to Luke chapter 17. It's easy to find the Gospels in the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. And we're looking at the third Gospel of the Bible, and I want you in Luke chapter 17. It's a very familiar section of these, well, you'll see it. Chapter 17 of Luke, and starting in verse 11. While he was on the way to Jerusalem, we're talking about Jesus, he was passing between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, 10 leprous men who stood at a distance met him. And they raised their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they were going, they were cleansed. Now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered and said, "Where were there not 10 cleansed? But the 9, where are they? Was no one found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" He said to him, "Stand up and go. Your faith has made you well." I think there is nothing more valuable in a person's character, in my estimation, than being teachable. That they are changeable, that they are able to be taught and to learn. Nothing more valuable. This guy was teachable. He had learned and realized where his healing had come from. I'd like to quote to you, I don't know the source of this, I don't know who originally wrote it, but I'd like to read this. Why did only one cleansed leper return to thank Jesus? The following are 9 suggested reasons why the 9 did not return. 1, waited to see if the cure was real. 1, waited to see if it would last. 1 said he would see Jesus later. 1 decided that he had never had leprosy in the first place. 1 said he would have gotten well anyway. 1 gave the glory to the priests. 1 said, "Oh well, Jesus really didn't do anything." 1 said, "Any rabbi could have done it." And 1 said, "I was already much improved." So 9 come back with various excuses. This guy suggests that it reminds me of the players from UCLA in China. I wonder sometimes how many times that Mary Kay and I said to our children, "What do you say when somebody has given something or done something for them?" And we automatically say, "What do you say? What do you say?" And they say, "Thanks." And I say, "Enough said." But if we don't teach it, they won't learn it. It's something that has to be learned. One of these lepers who were healed, but only 1 out of 10 figured the thing out. It must be learned. We're looking at Thanksgiving, and why even give it? Number 3, It celebrates the giving of resources. It is in the context of giving. I'd like for you, if you can, turn. I'll have it up here, but in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 is our passage. It reminds me of the 1621 national holiday of Thanksgiving, and this was the occasion with the Native Americans here when the pilgrims come here, and they're running out of food, and they're sick, and they're discouraged, and they're having a hard time, and the Indians help them. And we celebrate that to this day, and it was a real event. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 11, this is in the context of giving to the church in Jerusalem, from at least the Corinthian church. You will be enriched in everything for all liberality, which through us is producing thanksgiving to God. When we give, there is a result of great thanksgiving. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing through many thanksgivings to God. And in verse 15, thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. Here is the context of giving of resources. Comes back to the ultimate in giving of the Father giving His own Son. But that giving of what we have, results in great thanksgiving. I'm reminded of Christian organizations. If you donate to them, they figure this out. They know this. And they are very, very grateful. They will always send you a thank you from their organization. You will always get it. To which they will say, "We thank you for your generous gift." And they will include an envelope always for the next one. And that is okay. That is just fine. So this gift, this giving, will bring about many thanksgivings to God. Here's the church in Jerusalem. Everybody's Jewish there. And now some of these people have trusted in Jesus Christ, and they have lost jobs, they've lost families, they've been disowned, they've been excommunicated, they have lost everything because they stepped forward to trust in Jesus Christ. So they need help. And here are the churches that Paul visits, and he is sending money back to them. I am so grateful for the giving in this church. Your giving here is absolutely amazing, and I thank you. Why give thanks? It is God's will to give thanks. It must be learned, and it's important in giving of our resources. Paul, in the book of Philippians, he writes, and he thanks them for their gifts. What he is really thanking, though, and thanking God for what their giving has done in them and what their giving of thanks in the process is doing for them. But number four, I look at this one as the most important of all. It is essential in prayer. We see it in Colossians 4:2. I want you to go to Philippians 4. But in Colossians 4, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of what? Thanksgiving or gratitude. Now, in Philippians 4, this is where I want to spend some time. This passage in Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7, starts off with, be anxious for nothing. Translated is, don't worry about anything. Don't be afraid. I think this passage is the most important passage in all the Bible. Now, you might be getting tired of me saying those kind of things. I've said my favorite verse in the Bible is out of Hebrews 4. My favorite chapter of the Bible is 12. And the most powerful passage is, I can't remember what I said now, but this one is the most important passage because it deals with this idea of worry. Do not worry about anything. That is huge. How do you do that? We all worry from time to time. That is what makes this passage so important, because we all entertain worry. Now, the root idea of the word that's translated worry here means basically to divide. It means to separate. It is dividing truth and reality from what you're experiencing. And when we worry, you're being separated from what is true. In Christ, you are rich. You are powerful. You have all the resources of God. You are at peace, all of these things with God. And those things are all true, so why do we allow ourselves to get pulled away from the truth to worry? We get divided from the truth. It is connected also to the notion of fear. Fear is talked about in the Bible. Don't be afraid or do not fear 365 times, one for every day of the year. Okay? It's easy to say, don't worry, don't worry, don't worry. But it's like there's an elephant in the room because it says, I actually am afraid. I actually am worried. Things have gotten out of control in my life and they are too big. And I worry about what's coming tomorrow. Now, you may be here this morning and genuinely worried about the future. How do you get out of that? Philippians doesn't stop with telling you just don't worry. It goes on to prayer. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Supplication is simply making requests. It tells you to pray. You can pray anywhere. You can pray while driving. You can pray while walking, running, exercising, swimming, eyes open, eyes closed, preferably not when driving, hands folded, hands lifted up, hands at your sides, hands on the steering wheel, head down, head up, flat on your face or treading water, but pray. All of those things are revealed in Scripture, maybe not the driving part, but we can pray anytime. And then it comes to our word that we're dealing with this morning. And it is key. It is essential in prayer. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. Even in prayer, thanksgiving comes into play, and especially in prayer. It is essential. It is like we thank God for the results even before we get the results. It's a little bit like in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, King Jehoshaphat, he's facing war. There's a three-army coalition that is facing them and coming toward them. And in chapter 20, verse 21, Jehoshaphat says this, "When he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who sang to the Lord, and those who praised him in holy attire, as they went out before the army and give thanks to the Lord, for his loving kindness is everlasting." He sends out those who are singing and praising God first. If we have a major conflict coming through those doors out there, the first one out is Ed. He's our song leader. I'll follow him, but he's the first one out. But it's this attitude of thanksgiving. He was so certain that the battle was theirs that he starts off with praise and thanks. Okay, what is the result of such praying while afraid but thanking? What can I be assured of? Can we be assured that God will say yes to my prayer? Not necessarily. Well, can we be assured that I will comprehend everything around me that's going on? Well, not necessarily. Simply peace. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. True peace. God's peace. Not fear, not regret, not despair, not anger, not worry. We have replaced fear and worry with thanksgiving and prayer. And it works. We talked a couple of weeks ago when I was talking about, in the context of forgiveness, that we give up the right to get revenge. We give it to God. We give the situation to God when we need to forgive others. And that is the same heart that is here with this prayer and thanksgiving. We give thanks. It is God's will to give thanks. Giving thanks must be learned. Important in giving of our resources is this notion of thanksgiving. And then giving thanks is essential in prayer. when feeding the 5,000 in Matthew chapter 15. It says, he broke the 7 loaves and the fish, and giving thanks, he broke them and started giving them to the disciples. In verse 26, at the Last Supper, when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. Paul the Apostle in 1 Corinthians 11, relating back to that Last Supper, he says, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. In every one of Paul's letters, it begins with thanks, like Ephesians 1. I do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers. And Colossians 1, we give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Thanks is mentioned 52 times in the Psalms. I'd like to read something for you. It's a poem. It's entitled, Forgive Me When I Whine. And this is really more for me than for any of you. I know none of you are whiners, and I've been accused of being one at times. In fact, somebody gave me a sign that says, no whining. I don't remember who gave me this. Did any of you give me this thing? I want to thank you from my heart. I've thought about putting it up on my door, but I'm a little embarrassed to do so, that it applies so. But here it is. Today upon a bus, I saw a lovely maid with golden hair. I envied her. She seemed so gay, and how I wished I were so fair. When suddenly she arose to leave, and I saw her hobble down the aisle. She had only one foot and wore a crutch, but as she passed, a smile. Oh, God, forgive me when I whine. I have 2 feet. The world is mine. And when I stopped to buy some sweets, the lad who served me had such charm. He seemed to radiate good cheer. His manner was so kind and warm. I said, it's nice to deal with you. Such courtesy I seldom find. He turned and said, oh, thank you, sir. And then I saw that he was blind. Oh, God, forgive me when I whine. I have 2 eyes. The world is mine. Then when walking down the street, I saw a child with eyes of blue. He stood and watched the others play. It seemed he knew not what to do. I stopped a moment, and then I said, well, why don't you join the others, dear? He looked ahead without a word, and then I know he could not hear. Oh, God, forgive me when I whine. I have 2 ears. The world is mine. With feet to take me where I'd go, with eyes to see the sunset's glow, with ears to hear what I would know, I am blessed indeed, the world is mine. Oh, God, forgive me when I whine. And I'm not indicting any of you any more than indicting myself, because sometimes I walk through life with a lack of gratitude. I think if, and I heard this from a preacher last night on the news, Jeffers, who is a preacher and First Baptist in Dallas. And he was talking about such a major problem that we have in this country, and is that lack of gratitude. And that we can go about complaining and whining and protesting and hating and burning, and it's because of that lack of gratitude. And I don't see any of you protesting or burning, but I think we all wrestle with it. And I wrestle with that poem, God forgive me when I whine, because what that is a lack of gratitude. Because God is drawing us through life. He's allowing circumstances in each of our lives, as difficult as they may be, they are allowed there by God, and they're allowed there from his love. We saw that from Hebrews chapter 12. And it's designed to produce holiness and righteousness in our lives. And we can fight it. We can resist it. We can protest against it. We can cuss God for it. But God is allowing us to go through things and is trying to bring us simply to that place of thank you, because I see God in it. Now, maybe you're here this morning and maybe you do not have a working, walking relationship with Jesus Christ. If I were to ask you, if you die today, do you know you'd go to heaven? And if your answer is, I don't know. Or if I ask you also, if you're standing before God and he should say, why should I let you in to my perfect heaven, what would you tell him? well, if then we're starting to stumble around, you know, how many works we've done or how good we are or how much we've tried or how often I went to church, then we're focusing on the wrong thing. Because the only answer we could give God is that Jesus Christ paid the penalty for me. The penalty for sin is death, and we have all sinned. And that is the common denominator, whether you live in Fairbury or Plymouth, or you say, I'm from L.A., the answer is still the same. We've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But he says, I love you. And I send my own son, this indescribable gift. I send my own son to take the penalty that you deserved. Just believe that. Embrace that by faith. And then we stand before the gates of God, gates of heaven, and say, why should God let Mike McDonald in there? I got only one answer. It's the same answer you give. Jesus died for me. He paid the penalty. My sin has been paid for. And he'd say, come on in, because that's the issue. If you've never trusted him, I invite you to do so right now. Believe that Jesus died for you right where you sit. Let's bow together in prayer. Father, thank you. I thank you for life. I thank you for forgiveness of sins. I thank you for the giving of your Holy Spirit. I thank you for understanding your word. I thank you for allowing us to be here in this country to be able to hear truth. We thank you, Father, for the love that you demonstrated in sending your own son to take a penalty for us while we were enemies of God. Christ died for us. Such love. And Lord God, I pray that you will take us from here to demonstrate that same kind of love, simply in thanksgiving. That we can thank you because that's what you want. That's your will in our lives. Teach us to be more thankful. Father, as even we give our resources to the church or others, that we know that that will bring about great thanksgivings and honor to you. And Father, even as we come to you in prayer, we will thank you for the results because you are good and you are big. I pray, Father, if there's anyone here right now that needs to trust in you, and each of us, Lord, that need to more consistently thank you, work in our hearts. We give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.